God is good. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our very lives. Tonight, I get to just the pleasure of talking about discipleship, and I'm excited to talk about that. Discipleship isn't a teaching. It isn't just some little thing that I can show you. It's a lifestyle. Discipleship is a lifestyle that I've given my life to, and I hope that many of you have as well. So it's just my pleasure to talk about that tonight. You might wonder if you've ever looked at our bulletins. There's a couple different things. We start this service, theoretically, at 6:48, and that's a reference to Luke 6:48. I don't know if any of you know that, but I want to read that verse to you. We also start at 7:24 in Provo, and a different gospel, Matthew writes the same thing. But I want to read that to you to start this off. In Luke chapter 6, verse 47, it says, "I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." Okay? "I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." This is Jesus speaking. "Who hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep, laid a foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built." Oh, man. That's what this whole Grow Up series is about. It's about you and I figuring out and learning out and getting the certain things into place so that we can build our foundation on the rock, on Jesus Christ. And when the storms come, and they will in our life, when things come down the road and slap us around, our foundation will be on the rock. And that's what this eight-part series is. There's different things. As pastors, we got together and prayed about, we felt that our churches needed. That we needed certain things in our walk with God that would give us a foundation on the rock, on Jesus Christ, that could help us live the full life that Jesus talked about. And our heart is that none of you, not a single one of you, would miss out on that. Not a single one of you. Life is so much more than what many of us are living. So let's just pray and ask God to help us out. Jesus Christ, you are real. You are God. You are the rock. Lord, we need you right now, God. Would you disciple us tonight? Father God, I ask you to. I ask you to speak to our hearts and our minds. I ask you to soften us up, God, that we might be teachable. Father God, I pray against distractions. I pray against the enemy, God, out loud. Jesus Christ, you our King. You always will be. You are now. Help us, God. Show us how to be men and women in discipleship, God. Show us, teach us about that tonight. I pray you would in your word. Use a few examples that I have, God. I pray you'd use them and help us so we might become better at this. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, discipleship. You know, that word's thrown around a lot. But we do have an example. What we can always do, no matter who you're following, whoever's helping you, no matter who is your spiritual father or mother or brother or sister or son or daughter, it all comes back to Jesus Christ. And he's the example. And in his Bible, his true word, in his Bible, everything points to him. Old Testament, New Testament, everything points to Jesus Christ. And he is our ultimate example in every single part of life that we live on this earth. He's our example. And that's what we're going to start off by, looking at Jesus and his example with his not only his disciples, but how he submitted all the way to the cross, like Steele talked about a little while ago. So we're going to start off with grow up and follow. Follow. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Let's look at some of his examples. He said, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Now, one thing might be to follow him. Okay, I can follow Christ. I can follow him. What? I don't want to take the cross along with me, okay? I don't want to lug that big thing around anyway, all right? And for sure, I don't want to die on it. I don't want to get nailed to it. Do we have to do that? I just want to follow you, Jesus. He says, well, the whole verse applies to us. Let's follow him. I like this quote by Oswald Chambers. We talk about the joys and comforts of salvation. Jesus Christ talks about taking up the cross and following him. Oh, man. Is he serious? Let's look at Jesus as our example. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. This is Jesus speaking. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. It's another quote by Billy Graham. Salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. There comes a point in our life where discipleship costs everything we have. Everything we have. Jesus came to the earth for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross for you and for me, and he followed through. He gave everything. He didn't hold back. He didn't stop. He went all the way through, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he is alive today. Amen. And he wants us to follow him. He wants us to follow him. That is, you bet that's worth applauding. Everything is different. Everything has changed. Everything. Everything has changed. We've been called to something different. Let's continue to look at Jesus' example. Who, being in very nature God, Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Our God sets that example. Our God sets that example. That's extreme. But that's the pattern we're called to follow. That's where it starts. Are you that serious? Am I that serious? That's where it starts. Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he writes, follow my example, Paul says, as I follow the example of Christ. So disciples follow the example of Christ. We're followers. You and I are followers. Or we ought to be. That's what we're called to do. We're called to follow Jesus Christ. We're called to follow the example that he has given us. And you see, he left behind with his disciples. And people have been imitating that ever since. And people have been teaching that. Who or what are you following? Who or what am I following? Is it Jesus Christ? Could I say today, if I walk back through my day, am I following Christ today? Well, you know, if you're a believer, yeah, you've been tagged. You're a follower, all right? God chose you. You're a disciple. Like it or not, God said, you, come on, come on. I chose you. It wasn't anything I did. God saved me. I didn't save me. God chose me and said, okay, you, come on, let's go, follow me. Come on, man, if I got a life for you, you better hang on, buddy. And God is doing that all over the world. You're coming. Come on, I chose you. Oh, I can't believe I chose you, but come on. God chose us. It blows me away. God chose us. The first disciples were followers. You know, it starts off, Jesus is choosing his disciples. First off, as Simon called Peter, he picks Peter and Andrew. He comes up and he says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. At once, they didn't argue. At once, they followed him. Why? Because Jesus Christ chose them. A little bit further, a verse further, I'll make you fishers of men. He tells the next two, tells James and John. Said, come follow me, come follow me. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They're out on the boat with dad, fixing the, working, making nets or whatever fishermen do. Maybe they're sick of that, I don't know. But Jesus came by and said, come on, you follow me. And he tagged them. He said, come on, follow me, we're going to go change the world. Follow me. You know, honestly, I see two choices. You can either follow Jesus Christ, knocking at your door, you've let him in, you claim to be a believer, you've asked him into his life, into your life, you're either a follower or you're not. And you know, if that's the case, for some of us, this earth is the closest thing to heaven you'll ever see. And for some of us, this earth is the closest thing to hell you'll ever see. You see, there's a promise from our Jesus that said we'll be with him forever, for eternity. We'll be with him forever, for eternity. So if you're a follower, follow. Discipleship, you are a disciple, like it or not. And you can live it as much or as little as you choose. But you have been chosen. If you're a Christian, you've been chosen. I have been chosen. I don't know why I was one of them, but I praise God that I am. If I were to die right now, I would be in heaven for eternity with my King. And that's where I want to be. Are you a follower? If you're a disciple, are you living like one? Do you understand what that means? That is a lifestyle. That's a wake up and do it today thing. That's not something that's going to happen in the future. That's now. If you've become a follower of Jesus Christ, if you genuinely ask him into your life, and you're sure that you're going to be in heaven with him, and his Holy Spirit lives inside you, you are a follower. You are a disciple. And some things along the way that have helped me. Different brothers and sisters and people have helped me in my walk. And I want to show you a few things that I've learned that hopefully maybe you can implement or maybe you can use. Because this discipleship thing, this following, is not done alone. God puts us in a body of believers. And that body of believers is global. All right? All Christians are the body of Christ. And God's bringing more and more and more. The body is constantly growing. God is bringing people to himself. And we're called to follow together. We're called to be discipled together. We're called to disciple together. We're called to love each other. We're called to work through hard things. We're called to carry each other sometimes. We're called to love each other always. Even if we don't like each other, we're called to love each other beyond that. Because there's something more significant. There's something bigger than us. And it's eternity. And it's real. So we have to learn how to get over our selfish selves and love one another. I do. I can be so selfish sometimes. And God's at work at me, and he's softening my heart and helping me to look for the next person, love this next person, but I'm still tired of the last person, God. He's saying, you don't understand. I've called you to love people, the next person. Never give up. All the days of your life, as long as I'm breathing life into you, you love the next one. Love them. Help them. Show them. Point them to me. Help them. Hell, that's a part of our faith, an integral part of our faith is discipleship, where we're helped and we help and we run and we're disappointed and we're excited and we cry and we laugh. That's all part of discipleship. That's all part of this life, this full life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. It's with the body of Christ and learning how to be used by an almighty God to change the world. It's amazing. And you know, people say the Christian life is boring. I laugh out loud. Come on, you got to be kidding me. Christian life is boring. You're not living it, if that's what you think. That's it. God will take you places you never dreamed or imagined of. It's not necessarily safe. Definitely not easy, but it's what we're called to. So I've got a couple questions for you tonight I want to ask. And first, you know, everybody was always following. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. You go into different. Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." You can go verse after verse, and then they followed him. They followed him into Jerusalem. They followed him to Bethlehem. They followed him over here, and they followed him over. People are following Jesus, and that's what you and I are called to do. And in community, in a body of Christ, a body of believers. In this church, we believe that. And we're always trying to figure out ways to do more for our King. We invite you to be a part of that. We challenge you to be a part of that. So two questions I have for you. One is, how do I become a disciple? Okay, so what happens here? How do I become a disciple? I like this verse. I think I've clicked this thing so many times I probably messed up its poor little brain. I'm sorry. Well, the first point is to submit to your leaders. You know, I didn't become a Christian until I was 37 years old. And I had a bit of an attitude for most of my life against authority. I don't know what it was, but I had a chip on my shoulder, and it always seemed to get me into trouble because I wouldn't submit to authority. So if you find yourself always between a rock and a hard place and always this and always that hard thing, maybe you ought to kind of look and see who the authority is in your life and if you're submitting to their authority. God puts leaders in place. He raises one up, he takes another one down. But you can rest assured, like it or not, because some of our leaders we don't like in different situations, different positions, God has put them there, and we're called to submit to them. Like this verse in Hebrews, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. That verse applies to your boss. That applies to your parents. That applies to lots of different scenarios. To submit to authority. And that's an important part of discipling. Submit to your small group leader. Help him or her. It's all part of discipleship. I like this verse by Juan Carlos Ortiz. He wrote a book called Disciple. A disciple is a person who learns to live the life his teacher lives, and gradually he teaches others to live the life he lives. I like that. That's good. There's another thing here I like. The second point would be to be in. If you've been around this church very long, you've probably heard this. Be faithful, available, and teachable. Just submit to authorities. Be faithful, available, and teachable. I am always, always looking for men and women that are faithful, available, teachable, and I give them my attention. Try to help them. And people are, if they're faithful, and that means working on their own relationship with Christ, and genuinely pouring their life into Christ, in a prayer life, and in His Word, and loving others. Someone who's genuinely faithful and wants to serve the church and wants to serve the body. And if you're available, someone that would, like, if your small group leader or someone, a brother or sister needed something, you were there. And you have priorities. Your life's priorities are in order. And that first priority, of course, is God. So you've got these priorities, so God, okay? And that's way bigger than this church service. The priority of God is outside of these walls. God is my priority. And I'm available to Him. Whatever's going on, I'm available to Him. And teachable. That's a hard one too. I constantly have to ask God, God, make me teachable. Sometimes I can just be a crabby old guy. Make me teachable in this. Soften my heart. And sometimes He breaks me down and does it. And I thank Him for that. Thank You for this hard thing, God. Thank You for this difficult stage of parenting that You're taking me to. Thank You for these hard things that are going, God, because You're softening me. You're teaching me. Thank You, God. But that's what we're called to be. Be faithful, available, and teachable. I like this verse. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy. So the Apostle Paul writes about his spiritual son, Timothy. For this reason, I am sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach in every church. Timothy's Paul's disciple. He's multiplying himself. Timothy, obviously, was faithful, available, and teachable, and now Paul's sending him out. And that's what discipleship is. You're taking the time to help someone through that. Josh Whitney, a co-pastor for these churches, I asked him for his thoughts on discipleship. And he said, every disciple needs a father, brother, and son in the faith. And I like that. And I agree with that. I agree with that. So each and every one of us, remember now, you're a disciple. You're a follower. You've been chosen. I think we all need to have a father in the faith, or a mother if you're a woman, or a mother in the faith. Someone who you look up to. Someone who you can seek counsel for. Different things. Counsel is very important. Don't forget that part of the Christian faith. Help me with this. What do you think about this? It's so freeing when you go and talk to people and ask, what do you think about this? And they give you their truth and their input. You know, someone that loves you, who loves Jesus Christ first, but loves you and cares about you enough to speak truth in your life, even if it's hard. We all need that. Someone we can look up to, a father, a mother in the faith. And then take advantage of that. Some of us might have those people in place, but we never call. Yeah, that's my spiritual father and mother. I talked to him last year, honest, I did. No, it's someone that's in your life, even the little things, you know, get some counsel on things. I've had to learn this over the years. God's still teaching me that. When I make mistakes, it's usually because I didn't seek enough counsel on all different kinds of things that go on in my life. And everyone should have a brother or sister in the faith. Definitely a peer. A close friend. Someone that you can be transparent with. An encourager. Oh my goodness, we all need encouragers in our lives. Sometimes when I'm all beat up, I'll call one of my good brothers that I know will encourage me. It's like a breath of fresh air. Oh yeah. Say, can I pray for you, Mac? Oh yeah, do that. I need it. We all need that. We need a brother and sister that help us walk through this life of faith. It's hard. It's not safe. It's confusing much of the time. And typically, what that brother or sister will do is they'll point us back where? To Jesus Christ. It's not that they certainly help carry our burdens, but they can't fix it. But they can speak truth in your life and point you back to Jesus Christ. Remember what's true here now. You're freaking out about stuff that hasn't even happened yet. That's not true. Slow down. What's true is the situation right here. Okay, let's deal with that. That's what's true. And we all need that, whether you think you do or not. You do. I do. And we need a son or daughter in the faith. If you're a follower, a discipler, yes, that's you. You need to help the next person. Who? Dawson Troutman was recruited by Billy Graham to follow up the Crusades. All these people are getting saved. They're coming up to the altar. Everybody's crying. Everybody's getting saved. And you have all these baby Christians all over the place. And Billy Graham's going, how am I going to help these people now? They've got salvation. Yes, praise the Lord. But I know that they need help. And Dawson Troutman came along and started helping people. And one of the things that he always said was, where's your man? Where's your man or your woman? Where's your son or daughter in the faith that you're pouring into? Each and every one of us, if we're a disciple, if we're a follower of Christ, we ought to have someone like that in our life. And if you don't, you're probably being selfish. Ouch. Cool it, Mac. No. It's not all about you. And honestly, once I get my eyes off of myself, because sometimes I can get all selfish and it's all about me and the me monster, but when I do get my eyes off myself and I'm trying to help someone else, then life starts to make sense again. It's like, I got to get my eyes off myself again. That's right. There's that next person. And I am always looking for that next faithful, available, teachable person to help them. Especially if they're a little baby Christian. I try to find them someone that they can hook up with. If I'm too busy, I'll try to find somebody else to help them. We all need to be doing that. We all need to have that radar out, that same thing where we're helping people. And sometimes there's people that come in, our churches can be like a mass unit. People, God moves somebody from a different town or a different country or a different church, and they come, and typically we'll say, well, you know what? Stay with your church, stay with your pastor, try and work it out. If God has moved you here and you've worked things out there, all right, come on in with us. But we are headed somewhere. We are serving a mighty God. You can come along with us and serve and lock in. I'm saying, and I'm not just talking about baby Christians. I'm talking about people, maybe their faith is dead too. Maybe that's you tonight. And it doesn't have to be like that. Today is a new day. Look for someone to help you, to inspire you, to encourage you, to point you to Jesus Christ. Because that's where life is found. And sometimes we can go hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. I think God designed it so that we would be growing, 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 and then we're with Him. Woo. But if we're by ourselves, there's a verse in the Bible, Proverbs 18:1, a New American Standard Bible says that he who separates himself quarrels against all sound wisdom. We are designed, God wants us to be with other brothers and sisters in the body, to challenge us, yes, to test our patience, and to grow us and to stretch us. And one way that God does it is to imitate other disciples. God calls us to imitate other disciples. I like this verse. Join with others in following my example, Paul writes, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. And one thing about imitating other people's, other brothers and sisters in the faith, and being imitated ourselves, we're called to a higher level of accountability in that. Because if someone is trying to imitate my faith, well, my goodness, there's some responsibility there. So if my life is full of sin, man, there's some responsibility there. I'm called not to cause a stumbling block for other people. If I'm out getting wasted, I'm a stumbling block for someone else that maybe God put me with. They're watching me all the time, and that helps me. So I'm called to a higher level of accountability because there's others that I'm trying to help that God's put in my life. They're trying to imitate my life. So I got to be careful in purity and gossip and all the things that God warns us about so that I can be a good example. And it calls me to a higher standard. And that calls you to a higher standard. as disciples. Disciples were called to a higher standard. And that helps our walk of faith. It calls it to a new level. And that's the level we want to be, whether you think you do or not. We want to be more like Christ. Bill Young, the great theologian, I like what he wrote. The Christian life is caught and not taught. The reason I like putting Bill's name up here, because he's lived this out for me. So Bill Young, my co-pastor, has been a fantastic example for my life. When I first met him, let's just say my relationship with my wife was a little prickly. Bill has been such a fantastic example for me, the way he treats his wife. It's a beautiful husband-wife relationship. He's been a great example to me. And for 10 years, I've watched him, and certainly he's not perfect. Certainly he makes mistakes, but I've watched him. And when he says he's going to do something, he does it. He's a man of integrity, and he is worth imitating. I so appreciate him in my life, in my parenting with my kids. I so appreciate his parenting and the things that he's taught me. And we've been to meetings, and we've been on prayer walks, and we've drank gallons of coffee together, and we've been to different conferences. We've cried together, and we've laughed our heads off together. It's been a blast imitating his faith. But he's been worthy of imitating, and he still is to this day. And I think I probably call that guy to a higher standard. And a lot of it, you know what? It came from me. Bill wasn't always calling me, come on, Matt, come on, come on, come on. I was calling him and saying, what's next? I know he's a man who's following Jesus Christ, so I would call him and say, what's next? Where are we going? What's next? When's the next overnighter? How about this? Well, listen, I'm making out my calendar for the next year. Can you help me? What's going on? I don't want to miss any of these things. I want to have those dates open so I can grow as a disciple, so I don't miss things. And he's been a great example in that. Find somebody and imitate their faith. The Christian life is caught, not taught. I like that. Okay, now the next question, how do I make disciples? It's not like we have the little discipleship wand and it's like, bing! Oh, there's one now, isn't she, darling? Bing! How do I make disciples? Well, remember who we're following, Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes disciples, okay? He chooses people. He chooses to rescue people. He said, come on, follow me. Quit working on those fishing nets. Come on, follow me. Come on this way. Come on. Come on, follow me. So Jesus Christ chooses people. And when he rose from the dead for 40 days, quite a few people saw him after he rose from the dead. And this is what he was preaching. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I've given my life to that. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That is the cry of my heart. That is the cry of Jesus' heart. He said, go and make disciples. What are you doing with your life? What are you following? What are you doing? Go and make disciples. And I'll be with you to the very end of the age. See, we're not alone. God's in us. If you're a genuine follower, a believer in Jesus Christ lives, God lives inside you. You have that power. And he has promised to transform us to be more like him. He has promised us that. In Ephesians, he said his Holy Spirit is sealed inside of us. And there's a transformation going on in each and every one believer on the planet. So God is changing us, and he puts us in community with a body of believers to help us in different situations, so we can help each other and grow. Go and make disciples. I like Juan Carlos's quote here. Jesus had a pattern for forming disciples. He gave his own disciples concrete things to do instead of things to store away in their brains, and they obeyed him. Are you obeying God's word? Am I? The hard book of James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Make disciples. So let's talk about the different stages of disciples. When a person first comes to know the Lord, oh my, that's a special time. A person first comes to know the Lord, first ask God into their life. God saves them. And there they are all bright-eyed and, whoa, I'm saved. I'm saved. You know, and I think of the first year Christian. And some are just followers, just boom. We are all wired so different. Some people are just off and running. I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to learn everything I can do. I can pray. I'm going to run right past the next guy. Well, you go. And some struggle. And Jesus told us that that would happen. God told us that that would happen. Some would struggle. But my son has a new puppy in my house. And we're trying to train him. And one thing with this new puppy reminds me of kind of a new believer sometimes. Because a new puppy, if my son's off to school, so there I am babysitting the puppy because it can't handle being alone. It can't. So like, I'll leave the room, and maybe I just haven't trained him. I haven't been disciplined enough with him. So I'll leave the room, and it's like, rah, 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 rah. It's like, oh, come on. No, I'm right here. It's okay. It's okay. You know, and it'll just, ar, ar, ar. So I had to go to the bathroom, dude. Come on. But then I come back into the room, and he's like rolls over on his back. That's good having you in the room. But oftentimes I think when someone first comes to know the Lord, you and I need to be extra sensitive and help people. And to love them. And not to jam a Bible down their throat. To help them gently speak truth and point them to Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, when a person first comes to know the Lord, they're in a really awkward place because they're dealing with all this past life, all this past garbage, all this past sin, all this past lifestyle. And they're just, oh my, and now I have the Holy Spirit living in me, and God is changing me, but I don't get it all. And oh, what's this big target that Satan drew on me? What's that all about? And it just, you know, at that point, we need to help people. You know, and if you're leading people to the Lord, hallelujah, praise God. There's another step after that. You can roll up your sleeves and love them. And that's hard. That's hard. It's heartbreaking at times. But I also think it grows us. And I think God uses that to grow our faith, to help people take the next step, to love them, to show up at their house, to call them up, invite them. Go have coffee with me. Come on, let's go do this. Let me show you. You know what? The church, we're doing something over here. We're going to an overnighter. Why don't you come along and be a part of that? And to genuinely share the love of Christ with our brothers and sisters. That's what they need for that first period. It's like 6 months to a year. And you know, other people are, you know, people are different. Some are running like crazy with you. But it's like, there's definitely a progression as we mature in the faith. And we all need help. I'm still learning. I still get help from a number of different brothers that help me. And sisters, my wife speaks truth into my life all the time. She's constantly helping me and straightening me out. Sometimes I don't like it. I know that's true, honey. Multiply yourself. Multiply yourself. I like to think of the apprenticeship model. Let me talk to you this verse. In 2 Timothy, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who also will be qualified to teach others. See, God calls us to multiply ourselves. Also like this verse, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, there's that imitating, or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Another analogy I like to make is of apprenticeship. I worked as an electrician for over 25 years and I worked with many, many apprentices. I was an apprentice myself once upon a time, electrician's helper. I started when I was 15 years old. It was a good thing that I had a job. And I got a job and I worked. So all my life I was working with apprentices, and at different times in my career, I would have a big job maybe that I'd be in charge of, and they'd give me the drawings, and I'd say, oh my goodness, how are we going to get this all down? I had to take and think, you know, this one big job is a bunch of little jobs. I break it up into little pieces. And then I had to find so many journeymen. These were experienced electricians who had a license where they had to go jump through some hoops and have some experience. So they're journeymen. And in different states, you had different requirements for journeymen and apprentices. A journeyman could have one apprentice or two apprentices working with him legally to get a job done. Especially if it was a government job, the inspectors would even check that. I want to see your licenses. I want to see how many journeymen and apprentices you have, because this is a government job and it's going to be done right. Okay, so we're getting out of, oh man, I don't know, is mine updated? But and I can remember over the years, sometimes I would be in charge of a job or a foreman, and I would call the boss and say, man, I'm getting buried here. You've got to send me help, else this thing's going down the tube, and I'm walking off the job. I've got to have more help. And the next day, 15 apprentices show up. Oh, man, it's good to have all this help here. How much experience you've got? Well, I just bought this new belt. That's nice. That's a good belt you got there. And these guys that come up and say, how much experience you got? But the thing is, if I had an apprentice and a journeyman, I can put them together and do pretty well and get the job done. You just check on them maybe once or twice a day. But certain guys just would get it, and you could just cut them loose. But if I wasn't faithful to help people to come back and check on them, one of these new guys would just, because sometimes he'd show up, he says, I just want to work hard, man. You give me a project. I said, okay, take this and do this and this. Come back a half hour later and said, I must have said something wrong to you, because you have to take all of that down. We have to start over here. But I don't know, you know, when someone first comes to know the Lord, or if they've been dead in their faith for a long time, they just need to be checked on. Need to help. We need to just pay attention to people, to disciple people, to be there for them, to help them. Why don't you read the book of John? Okay, let's start there. You don't have to start in Revelations. Yeah, that's going to be confusing for you. Don't start in the Old Testament. You know what? I will help you through that when we get there. You know what? I want you to learn about Jesus right now. Okay, let's stay in the New Testament. You learn about Jesus. You know, on all that sin you're dealing with, let's pray about it. Let's see if we can find a verse to memorize to help you not have those lustful thoughts. Okay, let's just start there. Just something simple like that. This and that and the other thing. And just helping people and paying attention to them. And pretty soon you have your new best friend. But I honestly think everyone needs a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, a son or a daughter in their life. Each and every one of us need to have that. So expectantly. What I mean by this is, you remember the disciples came to Jesus and he had told them a parable about the sowing the seeds and the birds coming, eating some and taking them away and the weeds choking some others. And they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what are you talking about in this parable? Explain it to us further. And Jesus said, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, the word being Jesus, the ones who receive me with joy when they hear me, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it and by persevering produce a crop. Now the only way we have that good and noble heart is by Jesus Christ changing our heart. He's the one that changes hearts. When you ask him into your life, he will change you and give you a good and noble heart. But I don't always understand it. I've tried to help a number of different people over the years. Bunch of people that I would consider my best friends. Some of them would be running with us for a while, and I'm having Bible study with them and helping them, and all of a sudden they're gone. And I don't always understand that. As a matter of fact, it's one of the hardest things for me in my Christian life, because this is what I do. But we cannot be discouraged. We need to persevere and keep running. Where's the next one? Where's the next person? Where's the next person? And it's really, God is so good. Sometimes you just a wink, wink, maybe 3 years or 5 years, I haven't seen someone and they show back up. And they're still loving the Lord and they want to run with us again. I say, well, where have you been? What are you doing? Oh, not that we are the only ones that have things figured out. But I just want to see people have the full life. So the next guy, I'll help him till he breaks my heart. You bet I will. And I will never stop doing that. It's what I'm called to do. It's what you're called to do. We're called to follow Christ and bring as many people with us as possible. We're called to disciple. That's what discipleship is, a lifestyle. Help the next person. Help the next person. Lead people to Christ. Help them follow Christ. Lead them. Help them. Lead them. Help them. Day in, day out, day in, day out. Help people. We're called to love others. That's a command. You and I are called to love others. Don't get all caught up in yourself. Serve and then die. Well, that's encouraging to end with. You guys are fired up now. Again, our example is Jesus. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Being the discipler does not mean that you have someone at your house mowing your lawn and stuff, remember? Bring me the head of a pig and a goblet of something cool and refreshing. That's not what we're called to serve. We're called to serve more than the next person. You know what? If you're a husband or a wife, you're called to serve your spouse. Serve, serve, serve them, serve them, serve them, serve them, and then die and be with Jesus Christ. We're called to serve. Wake up and serve, and serve, and serve the next person, and serve your children, and serve your friends. Serve people. Jesus is our example. He said, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There is our Jesus Christ, our Father, who's worthy of imitating. That's what he's called us to. Like this verse, promise in Hebrews. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. God will not forget. You will be richly rewarded, good and faithful servant. That is a promise from our God. One last thing I want to help you with is pay attention. You know, we are just a simple church with a group of people that love Jesus Christ. And everything that we're trying to do is to serve that God, to serve our King. We're trying to win one person at a time, and one world in our lifetime. And together we're trying to do that. We're trying to win the lost. We're trying to build them up as believers and then send out the sanctified to all places in all the world. Be involved in that. Go to the women's thing Monday night. If you're a woman, if you're a follower of Christ, you need to get plugged in. You need to be with other women. You need to be in relationship. Don't fly stealth. Don't fly stealth. You will crash. It'll be painful. Be with other believers. Go to GCLIs. pay attention to what's going on, you know. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of strong Christians in this church that are running hard for Christ. You just look around, you'll see some of them. Lock arms with them. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. Start running for Christ and live the full life that He's promised. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Be a part of it. If you're not going to do it here, do it somewhere. Be a disciple. Be a follower of Christ when you wake up every single day. And you'll feel more alive than you ever have. I promise you. Let's just pray and thank God for tonight. I thank you, God. You've got my attention, God. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Certainly, there's days that my heart just wants to bag it. And I know that you live inside me, and you'll help me through those days, God. I pray you help each and every one of us to follow you. Father God, we want to live the life that you want us to live. Father God, thank you for the promise that we'll be with you when we step off of this planet forever and ever and ever. There'll be no more tears, God. We'll be with you. You'll take such good care of us. Thank you that you love us now and you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I just praise you for that, God. You are a good God. Disciple us. God, disciple us. We need you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.